A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It's hot outside, which means get over to Sonic, try their brand new Flavorista favorites. It's a new crafted drink menu, and it's got flavors for every moment. The Rainbow Slush got real strawberries, lemonade, blue raspberry, or Jason's favorite. We're going to pass this along in his honor.
Okay.
The Lemonade Cream Cooler with Creamy Vanilla Soft Serve.
That's him.
That's him, man. That's what Jason loves. And you'll love it, too. Discover more favorites in the Sonic app. Live free. Eat Sonic. Every round, it's time we do the Rundown. Let's go.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, so the news of the day here locally in Memphis sports is that we can't say with any certainty, but it does seem as though if we are to read the tea leaves that we have seen the last of Zach Edey until the preseason in game action. And, you know, Jeff brought up an interesting point in that, you know, if we're talking about a football player, you know, he's not going to be playing football, but a basketball player is going to be doing basketball things. He is going to be in a court in a gym, and he is going to be playing pickup, and he is going to be doing, you know, drills and things like that. And that is true. That is true. But I can't control that, right?
Right, yes.
I can't. I'm not going to ask him not to do that.
Right.
But what I can control, as I go back to this, as sort of a, you know, as a general manager, as a front office here, is I can't control how much extra work. Right?
Yeah.
Which, and if we're talking about, you know, work here, summer league is extra work. This is where, you know, you go to get reps. This is where you go to, you know, if you're GG, just basically shoot every ball, right? Like this is extra work. And my point is, Zach Edey doesn't need extra work. He's gonna, yes, play pickup basketball, but he's also a guy that if he's playing in a competitive game, well, I know we can sort of write it off like summer league, but I mean, you guys saw it. You guys saw how seriously he took it. And so, like, I can't turn that off.
Yep.
If I put him out there, I can't turn that off.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's more ferocity when you play live games with a crowd, and you're trying to prove yourself as a rookie.
Absolutely.
After you sit him down and you say, you don't need to prove anything, big fella, we're taking you out. The other thing is there should, in theory, be less undercutting that goes on with a five in a scrimmage game as opposed to an on-ball situation.
Yeah, because here's the other thing about summer league. The guys on the other side are trying to do the same thing.
Trying to ball out.
Because they need two ways. They need
like Walker Kessler needs to show for Utah.
So, you know, I mean, in some time, like you could kind of tell, like Isaiah Miller for the Grizzlies is like bro, he's
playing
out there
for his life.
Playing for his life.
Yelling at the refs like it's the biggest call in the
playing
world.
Playing for his life. And Zach Edey is not playing for his life.
Right.
He's got a spot.
He doesn't know it or perceive it the same way you and I are talking about it.
No, and that's why, and I think that's what the Grizzlies are doing. They're saying, listen, you already rolled your ankle. You turned it, bro. Like, we saw you hit the deck three different times. You know, we don't need to expose you to unnecessary risk. Because what do you get out of it? What do you gain? What is anybody ever going to say you get out of summer league? Has there ever been a situation where somebody had a summer league and they look back on it and say, man, I am so glad that I played that summer league. Like, it made such a difference to my career.
Yeah. No.
It's just not reality. So, selfishly, would I love to see Zach Edey play and be out there dunking on folks in July? Sure.
Yes.
But I would much rather see him doing that in December.
Yes.
And anything that could take away from that happening, I would say, let's not do that.
I 100% agree with your take on this. And I said it the moment he hit the deck in the first game. I do think, however, if we're talking about player by player, you know, Gigi, we mentioned, Laravia still needs to show me something. Like, he has to consider. I know he had a good end of the season.
I think he'll be out there for summer league for Vegas.
Yeah, I think they need him out there.
Yeah, he'll be out there.
Like, he needs to prove himself still.
But I mean, Utah is like, you play one game.
It's a warm up.
Like, Laravia is not a guy that needs to be playing every damn summer league game. You know what I mean? Like, Vegas, I would say yes.
He could
play the majority of games in Vegas. But
Scotty, you might sit him a little bit. I don't know. Do we need to see any more of Scotty Pippen Jr.?
I see no harm in that. You're not really preserving him for anything, right? Like, you're preserving Zach.
Right.
That's the thing. Is like, the approach to him has to be different than it is anybody else, because A, you have you have no option behind him. You don't have another big. You don't have a vet minimum out here. I mean, I'm sure they'll do something, but it's not obvious to me what that would be yet. So if Zach Edey, for whatever reason, played in a summer league game and something, God forbid, happened to him, you are SOL.
Screwed.
You're SOL.
You are screwed.
And you have no answers at the big man spot.
Yeah.
And it's just not worth it.
I agree.
And it's just that simple. It's just not worth whatever he would get out of it and however much fun it might be for him or the Grizzlies fans. Like, it just doesn't matter.
Well, and it's let's say that he got injured and he's going to miss months. That is demoralizing if you're John Morant. Like, you're out there tweeting about how this is going to be your pick and roll partner, and it's like,
It's so important for him to get a full offseason, acclimated, get reps in with the real Grizzlies, not, you know what I'm saying?
These cats.
I mean, no disrespect, there's a greater goal here.
Right.
I mean, these Grizzlies, if they are healthy, have a chance. They have a chance. I'm not saying that they're obviously not the favorite. They're obviously not, the second or third favorite. But they, if they are healthy, I believe this with every fiber of my being, will 100% be in the mix in the West. 100%. You cannot tell me that if Ja, Bane, Jaren are out there and they're healthy, that they don't have a chance to get to the West Conference Finals. I just don't believe that. We've already seen it.
Yep.
We've already seen it. Listen, Edie's too important to that equation, you know? He's going to be a guy that's going to free up so much space for Ja. He's going to be a guy that rebounds everything and allows Jaren to be a little bit more aggressive defensively and floating around out there. He's just contextually, for what he's going to allow the Grizzlies to do on both ends, is too important to compromise it by putting him out there against some, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. I mean, it's just the truth. And I think everybody involved understands that. I mean, they probably don't want to put it as bluntly as I did, but I think that's probably a sentiment that is shared, and it's wise. This is a big guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 7'4", 300 pounds. So any extra mileage, even if he doesn't get hurt today, any extra mileage, you don't want to have a mounting workload, right?
Yes.
You want to minimize it as much as you can control. As much as you can control. We know what the history is with big men of that size. It's documented. We all know it. Yao, Mark, Embiid, there's always going to be some problems, right? And so why contribute to that? Why compound that by playing the guy in summer league? I mean, to me, he's proven enough. He put up 14 and 15 against a real NBA player. I mean, it's that simple. It ain't Bam Adebayo.
No.
But, I mean, if he's doing that against Walker Kessler in his first game ever, in his first NBA action ever, with guys who are going to be playing in Slovakia, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
That is good enough for me, and my guess is, and my bet is, that it will be good enough for the Memphis Grizzlies as well. And so, listen, you'll get Gigi. You'll get all the Gigi that you could possibly handle.
Yep.
You'll get Pippen and Laravia. That would be
Jemison.
You get Jemison, Cam Spencer, and Wells. That'll be
that's
you
it.
Know, and that's great. Like all those guys, like Cam Spencer, Jalen Wells, they need these reps, right? Because we're trying to figure out as an organization where do they fit in. You know, Cam Spencer, to me, I'm intrigued, right?
Same.
Intrigued. I'm like, okay, you might just be a dude.
Yep.
You might. I don't know. Like, let's see.
Looks it so far.
You know, Jalen Wells, I want to see
right.
which of these performances is more you.
Right.
Right? I have a very good one and I have a very bad one.
Yeah.
So is there going to be some sort of stabilization? Like, I want to see these things. Yeah. With Edie, if you, like, at some point, it becomes undeniable with him. Right?
Right.
He is one of the most decorated college basketball players that ever played.
And the college sample is massive.
It's massive.
It's a
4 years,
sample.
And it's a silver bullet,
yeah.
Right?
No, I mean, it's awesome.
Every single year, it was better than the last, okay? And that means team success as well.
Right.
Because they used to hold the team success against him.
Yeah.
But then he was dominant. Then he was dominant, and he did it against everybody. He did it against Tennessee and Dawson Connect. He did it against NC State and DJ Burns.
Yep.
Right? So another like, not an NBA player.
They're throwing
still.
Bodies at him.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Burns is all over
and,
him.
And yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, what do you have, 37 in the national championship game?
I mean, him and everybody else.
So, I mean, the guy has every single year gotten better. He's proven it. As far as I'm concerned, he's answered every question I had about him.
Oh, and one view, I was done. I mean, is that stupid of me?
No, I really don't. I mean, in terms of he has what it takes.
And this is different than a guard like Adams back in the day, or one of these guys drafted out of Kansas that you're trying to see, okay, is this a scorer for the team? I think it seems like the five is a little different when you're talking about a pick and roll guy like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so simple. It's such a simple job. I mean, it's difficult, but it's simple.
Right.
You know, and it's stuff that he could do in his sleep at this point in his career, right?
Right.
You just have to use your mass,
mm-hmm.
set a screen on the perimeter, and let Ja Morant create in space.
And then on the free throw line, when the game's on the line, can you get your hand on the ball?
Yeah, which we know he can do.
You did that.
Against a 7'2 guy.
Two guys over 7 foot on either side of you, and you get your hand on the ball.
And, like, the other thing, and I'm just thinking about that first game, like, people aren't even trying him offensively, right? Like, when he gets the ball that low,
yes.
There's nothing you can do.
No, it's over.
You're a passenger. You're a bystander.
It's over.
You can't contest 7'4". He doesn't even have to leave the ground. You know, like, that is such an asset.
It's ridiculous.
That is such an advantage. It's like, it's an edge.
Absolutely.
It's an edge that very few other NBA teams have. And it's also like, we've seen guys of his size come in and they kind of like they can't walk and chew gum at the same time, right? Like they're just big for no reason.
Yeah.
Like he's a high IQ guy.
Right.
He can catch the ball, he can finish left or right, turn around hook. Like he's got some things to him. You know, like Boban don't got nothing to him. He can't even get up and down the floor. You know what I mean? So
he's uncomfortable with the ball and just as an athlete.
Well, you would never throw the ball into Boban. Like, you know, I mean, seriously, it's just not something that you would do.
Unless you're on the rim.
Right. Edie is different. He's a unicorn in that way. Yeah. I truly believe that. And so, I said this, people get mad at me because I said that I don't think he's going to be rookie of the year. I hope that people can separate, right?
Sure.
They can separate the difference in those discussions. I felt it, you know, you see that he didn't play for Team Canada this year because he was focused on the Grizzlies. I just don't see a realistic way in terms of things that Zach Edey can control. I don't see a realistic way that he fails.
Well, and I think if you're Memphis and you had a conversation with him about not playing on Team Canada, like, that's a step in the direction of holding him out of summer league, not a step in the direction of throw his ass out there and have him get a bunch of minutes with you. Like, in other words, you're not doing that to put him on the court. You're doing it to keep him off the court more.
Exactly.
More sample on the real games that matter.
And I don't know. I mean, if you guys watched the USA game last night, I mean, he would probably be in the starting lineup for Canada.
Yeah, he would have started. It would have been physical. You'd had Embiid against him on the post, and Embiid was trying to get physical.
Yeah, I mean, he clocked.
Yeah, he took a shoulder out, and they got into it with the refs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not any easier if you're on Team Canada either. So the other thing, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but like, I know how big he is because I saw him play with Purdue, but like, his thickness, like when you're 300 pounds at 7'4", it's so much better than a lot of these stilts that are out there at like 7'2", and they weigh a buck 70. You know.
Everybody wanted the Grizzlies to draft Khalil Ware, right?
Yeah.
And he's just a skinny guy.
He's a rail.
You know, and I think that's the key here with Edie is that, I mean, he's a thin guy, but he's wide, right?
He's got big shoulders, 300 pounds. You know, he's big.
He's an incredibly difficult person to get around.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Especially when he sets his stance.
The frame is wider than an average 7'7".
So, and I think that's why Edie always made more sense because, you know, it's just, you know, in the NBA, we're talking about very, very thin margins here, right?
Right.
We're talking about a second, millisecond, you know, half a second. We're talking about these little things adding up over the course of the game where if Ja Morant, if Demetrius Jamal Morant gets half a second on you, goodbye.
Right.
It's over. He's scoring. It's a wrap. We got to get down on the other side of the floor at this point, right? If he gets if he gets a half a second step on you, you're looking at his back.
Yeah.
You're looking at his last name. So that's what Edie allows you to do. Yeah. I mean, that's, again, people are probably going to hear this thing. I'm giddy, and I am giddy.
Yeah.
Let me be clear about it. I am super excited about this selection. I was excited about it the day of the draft, before it even happened. I was excited certainly after it happened. I mean, that was the first Grizzlies draft pick other than Ja Morant, I would say, in my entire adult life that I've been genuinely, like, stoked about.
Oh, I was too.
You know, Jaren, I thought there could be a path. You know, there was some people had questions, but I thought, okay, I could see it. I could see it in the modern
NBA. I was one of those dudes booing it at your party we had. I was just not convinced, but, I mean, he's turned out great.
Yeah, but I think this one is just sort of unanimous in just how easy it is to visualize his impact.
Yeah.
And then that he sort of went out there and already showed you with Scottie Pippen and you know, Gigi Jackson, as opposed to Ja Morant and Desmond Bane, guys, like, this is kind of scary. Like, this is scary.
Yeah.
If he's out there and he's healthy, which not being on the floor for summer league will help his chances of being, I think it could be a beautiful offense. I think it could be a beautiful year for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's why, I got this future at plus 5,000, you know.
It's on the championship?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's, like, not that anymore. It's not plus 5,000.
What'd it go to?
I think it's, like, I'll check, but it's like
plus 3.
It might be worse than that.
Wow.
It might be worse than that. I'm going to check right now. So I got it at plus 5,000 just before the draft.
Yeah.
And so that's definitely a difference.
Who do you think is going to win the rookie? I know it's a different conversation because we're excited
They're
about
plus
Edie.
Plus 4,000 now.
So we talked about Edie and the rookie of the year. Who gets it if it's not Edie is my question.
Well, it could be a lot of guys. I mean, it could be Stephon Castle with the Spurs because he's going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to be passing the ball to Wimby.
And he'll start.
Yeah, of course. And they're going to lose a lot of games. And he's going to have a lot. I mean, Stephon Castle, I think, would be my bet right now. But look.
Makes sense.
Rhys Hachey is going to have the ball in his hands a lot for Atlanta. Sar is going to have the ball in his hands a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll see on Reed. I don't know. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. You know, for him in Houston, and if they're going to consolidate at all, but it may not be Reed Shepard, but it could be, you know, Ron Holland in Detroit. It could be this guy in Charlotte. You know, Dillingham will have a say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bouzelis is, he was a top five projected pick, and the Bulls are tearing down, so he could be a guy that has opportunity. So there's a lot of you know, different options. I think what just hurts anybody at that position on a good team is that you're going to be the fifth or sixth option. How many fifth or sixth options have won Rookie of the Year? I mean, the answer is none.
None.
Ever.
It's usually dudes like Wemby, you know, not quite that good, but they're getting a lot of action.
Like, Scottie Barnes was the lowest I've seen.
You said it was 19 or 18.
His usage rate was 19.
Yep.
So I don't remember exactly what he averaged. So he averaged 15 and 8, basically.
I actually think that's the that percentage is what Edie will have. It'll be similar, I bet.
I don't think he'll average 15 and 8, though. He will not.
I don't think he'll have that kind of production.
Yeah.
No.
So like, they're
not going to rely on him for that kind of scoring.
Like if he averages 10 a game,
I'd be shocked if he got 10.
Yeah. Like I think,
and that's
like
not a bad thing. That's because they're going to use him as a body.
He's literally going to be a cleanup man.
Right.
Like that's his role.
Yeah.
He's going to get to the foul line occasionally.
Tips.
He's going to be a cleanup man. Yeah. He's not going to play because they know that they're going to bring in somebody behind him.
Yep.
He cannot play 30 minutes a game.
Brandon Clark or somebody like that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Pogo 5.
That's exactly right. They could do that. They could have small lineups for sure.
Sure.
He is not going to play 30 minutes a game. It ain't happening.
No, I agree with that.
That's not smart.
No.
You know? I mean, especially in the regular season. Now, we get to the playoffs? Right. Sure. But you know, you're sort of asking for – now, Zach Edey is built for it.
Mm-hmm.
He showed that in college. I mean, he was going 40 a game in the tournament.
They needed him.
And they had to have
That's all they had.
But – you know, you just in the NBA, much more physical, much different style. You know what I mean? Where you're not dominating and towering over everybody. He averaged 32 minutes a game in college last year.
Okay,
so he showed that he could do it. But let's get that down to like 25,
right?
Realistically, right?
Yeah.
Just to sort of acclimate him to the NBA, and his minutes can go up, but I also want to conserve as much as I can. You know, because I'm going to need him. I'm going to need him for the home stretch. And that does not include the summer league. So anyway, we're going to take a break. Trista Crick will join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about Zach Edey, the Grizzlies, the offseason. Obviously, a lot of moving parts. DeRozan is now a Sacramento King. Paul George is now a Philadelphia 76er. We'll talk to her. I believe she was out there in Vegas for the exhibition. So we'll talk to her about Olympics basketball. Lots more to come with T-Dog on the other side. Jason and John.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Trying to fam, yes. Trista Crick is the host of BetMGM tonight. She knows ball. Friend of the show joins us now. Are you in Vegas? You were in Vegas, right?
I'm in Vegas. Me and you met in Vegas 2 years ago, John.
Was that two years ago?
Where are you?
I know, man. It's crazy. 2 years ago, I had one kid. Now I have two. And and it just complicates every possible thing about my life. It really does. It really does. I miss it.
And also makes it so much more fulfilling, probably, too.
I'm waiting on that for sure. Yeah. I mean, Vegas would be fulfilling. Although I will say I spent a week out there in December for two Raiders games, so it's not like I have gone without. But yes, I do kind of wish I was there in Las Vegas. You were at the game at the exhibition last night. I'm curious if you shared the same view I had. I mean, the U.S. did not even play well, and they covered the number, and they could have picked the number. It felt like is anybody in the world going to be able to keep a game within 10 against us?
I think France will. Just because you've got Wembanyama and you've got Rudy Gobert, and I think that's like a very dynamic 2 7-footer lineup. I think they're going to make life really hard on Embiid, and you saw Embiid fouled out last night. And if Embiid fouls out, and then you've got these 2 7-footers, then maybe you have a chance. And we've seen the U.S. lose before in the FIBA World Cup 2 years ago. So it's not inconceivable. Germany's pretty good, too. They've got a lot of bigs. And I think that's the reason that Embiid's on the team, right? Like, as you saw these very old-school style of basketball dominate in the World Cup, and the U.S. just really didn't have that. So I'm being told I need to move. So it's one of those things where they did what they needed to do. Embiid could have played for France, by the way. Because he's a French citizen as well, and we found a way to get him because we got dominated 2 years ago. So I think that's the way the roster is. The reason the roster is the way it is, along with LeBron and Steph Curry being there as kind of cheat codes in case we're on the ropes.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? In that like the second unit kind of feels better than the first. I kind of felt that too. Like that starting lineup was definitely not the best of our team. I mean, do you think that's going to change? Do you think the lineup will change?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Steve Kerr said that last night. He said, listen, don't pay too much attention to the roster, like, rotation. I'm going to make changes. I'm going to experiment. I want to see what groups play the best together, how we want to do it. So the starting lineup isn't solid. The second unit isn't solid. I don't think anything about this team right now is solid in terms of, like, I mean, the roster just got changed where Derek White got put on the team, so the roster's barely solid.
Yep. On that note, Jaylen Brown is, like, very mad. And I understand. Yeah. I understand. Like, he, you know, he's we actually went back and looked at this yesterday. He's the first finals MVP since, I think, Joe Dumars to have not played at any point for a U.S. Olympic team. And you get them, that's what, 1989, 1990. So you got to go way back for that. And not only that, he was passed over for a guy who, you know, I think if you just ask the, you know, general consensus, is worse than him. It definitely feels like Grant Hill is a cornball and just passed him up. How validated do you think Jaylen Brown is in his feelings to not be on the U.S. team?
Extremely validated. I think if you're talking about, all right, we're losing Kawhi, so the logical, rational idea would be that we should find someone to replace the role that Kawhi was going to play. Derek White does not play the same role as Kawhi Leonard. The closest facsimile to that is Jaylen Brown. He's, you know, similar size, similar body type. similar play style in terms of like a clunky, physical, defensive-minded wing. And so I think it maybe means that Kawhi Leonard was put on this team for political reasons, not because of a fit or chemistry reason. And right. Kawhi Leonard deserves to be on the team 100 times out of 100. Don't get me wrong. But I think what it shows is, like, Derek White's a glue guy. Derek White's the kind of guy that will excel in this format, a guy who can shoot threes, a guy who can do a lot of different things in important moments, and you never really know how Derek White's going to show up. But the fact that you've got three players on the championship team on Team USA, and one of them is not the Finals MVP, is very, very strange.
Yeah, it is, and I think you're right. I think it's definitely a lot about politics. And, you know, unfortunately, it is a United States team. You know what I mean? So there is politics is part of it because there are a lot of guys that I think probably should be in there that are not in there because
Kyrie
for sure. Kyrie should be in there over Halliburton every single like.
Halliburton has no handles.
Yeah, man.
I don't even know why Halliburton's on this team, honestly. And it's like that
meme where you have like the four guys that are like in the military, and then you see the clown, and it's like you know, Halliburton's a clown. You know, he's just like you're not you don't belong here. You know, I mean, there's a difference in weight class. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, 1,000%, bro. I mean, the fact that Kyrie's playing I know he didn't play well at times during the playoffs, but to leave Kyrie off this team when LeBron and Steph are there,
right,
kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Agreed. Agreed. So, yeah, it's all about, you know, his sort of how public, you know, his views are and how controversial he is, and so.
And you could say that may be the reason that Jaylen Brown is not on this team.
Yes.
Is that Jaylen Brown is just way too outspoken, way too much of an activist, you know, way too, I don't know, I think some people might say way too unapologetically black, and now he's saying to Nike, he's subtweeting Nike, I don't care about how many resources you have or how powerful you are, I'm not afraid of you. And I tell you what, like, if you're a big corporation or you're a federation of a country, somebody who's like that is somebody who normally doesn't get elevated if there's any question or any alternatives that will fit just as well.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. I think when you sort of look up and down this roster, yes, obviously it's talented, but also, like, you don't have any people. You know, you have guys that have played the game, so to speak, too. You know, like, I think that's... You know, and look, again, to their credit, like, they've been very successful by doing that. I'm not like disparaging them or, you know, anything like that, but there is no guy on this team that you would say you know just from a risk aversion standpoint that you have to worry about. You know, not that you have to worry about Jaylen Brown, but just from their perspective, you know.
But he might do the fist.
He might.
At the national anthem.
He might.
Like, if there's two people on planet Earth that could play for Team USA that could potentially replicate, and I've not thought about this until just this moment, to replicate that iconic picture of, you know, fists up on a global stage at the opening games, opening ceremony, is it not Kyrie and Jaylen Brown?
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000. And there was no universe where they were both going to be on the team. But yes, even one of them. Yeah, even one of them.
Yeah. So both of them together, you know, I've been accused of this term that I'm about to lay on them. So I don't think it's a bad term at all. But they're little balls of chaos. And so you don't know what's going to, you know what I mean? And Grant Hill is the most risk averse.
No question.
That's the reason he's in the spot that he's in.
Yep. Yep, exactly right. And so it's just, basically they don't want to make a headline. And like, this is not a commentary on whether or not their causes are noble, by the way. It's just like from the U.S.
The business.
100%. And we don't want to have to answer questions because we have great players that we don't have to worry about that with. You know,
you think we have to worry about Derek White?
100%. Like, he's just like happy to be there. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe this.
Colorado grad Derek White? No.
Exactly. Exactly. So if I was in their position, I'd probably do the same thing. But, you know, I'm not in their position. So I look at it and I'm like, you know, there's a spot here. There are maybe two spots here that went to people that weren't deserving from the talent perspective. But, you know, as you said, this is walks of life. This is in every walk of life. It is like this, you know.
This is the reason that I don't get my credential for the Summer League until the day before I leave for the Summer League.
Because they watch your TikToks. They watch your TikToks.
Yeah, they're like, we don't know if we want this girl around. Like, she's got a weird ID. Why is she around? Let's try to figure out a way to... Like, I've been going to the finals since 2015, and my credentials got denied for the finals this year. You don't think that has anything to do with the things that I say? Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. So, like, that's the way it is. Like, I'm not... There's no indictment on Jaylen Brown or Kyrie Irving. I go through this myself. And so if I was in Grant Hill's shoes, I would probably put both of them on the team.
Right.
And probably more people on the team. And that's why they would not put me in power.
Yeah, we need to get Kyrie, Jaylen Brown, Ja. All right. Let's just really lean into all the wild cards.
In Paris.
Yeah, man. No, that would be
We're going to have the Kanye West song in the back.
That's right.
In front of the Louvre.
That's right.
And there's going to be a music video, and it's going to be like Joey Badass's video with Chance the Rapper with the frames, and like there's going to be an international incident, and I will love all of it.
Yeah, it would be more entertaining than I think that this run will be. I will say that. I mean, I think it will be a gold medal. But I don't think it'll be particularly entertaining because I just think the talent gap is just that wide. It would be nice to have a little bit of controversy. I don't foresee that coming. Do want to get your thoughts on what the Grizzlies did. I don't think we caught up with you since the Grizzlies drafted Zaki. Maybe we did in my days running together. I think we had you on before. Forgive me if we did.
Yep.
But
No, you did.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
Zach Edey, drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies at 9, 14-15 against Walker Kessler in his first ever NBA action. Doesn't sound like he's going to play again. They're going to be careful with him. Has he turned his ankle in that game? But just knowing what he did against a credible NBA player, right? Walker Kessler was once considered an up-and-coming big man in the league. To see Zach Edey come in and do that right away, what did you think?
First and foremost, Zach Edey looks really lean. That was the first thing that stuck out. He looks like he's dropped, from 2 years ago, probably 25 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like Zach Edey was kind of a thick boy. Mm-hmm. And now he's really lean in that 7-foot frame. He looks incredibly conditioned. That's number two. The tip-in was super impressive to go to OT. That's a gamer move. I had Zach Edey to have 14-plus rebounds at plus 550. So I absolutely love. He had 13 before overtime. So I absolutely loved the Zach Edey overtime display. He looks good, man. He looks better than I thought he was going to look. He looks more seamless than I thought he was going to look. And it's summer league, so I have no idea how it's going to translate. But I'll say all of the early signs are amazing. I think Ja and Zach Edey are going to be fast friends. And Zach Edey is a tough kid, and he probably would play the whole summer league if they let him. But I like this move for the Grizzlies. More so, I love Gigi, and I know Gigi was getting killed by Grizzlies fans because he was kind of making some mistakes along with Jake LaRavia in that summer league game. But I think it's just a lot of youth, a lot of athleticism. I know that Zach Edey's not necessarily, you know, compared, or the word athletic isn't usually used to describe him, but I think he's a dog. He's an absolute dog, and I think Ja and him are going to get along just fine.
Yeah, agree totally. Let me ask you this from this standpoint. Zach Edey is the consensus favorite at most of your sports books now to be Rookie of the Year.
I gave it out.
Yeah.
I gave it out right after the draft. I was like, he's going to get the usage. We know that he's getting like 35 minutes a night right away, and now it went from 10-1 to 6-1 in like 2 days.
Interesting is that you think he will get the usage, because I'm of a different belief that his usage will he'll get minutes, he'll be the starting five, but I do kind of wonder, like, who's the last Rookie of the Year that was, you know, fourth or fifth on his on a good team that won the award, right? Like, it generally does not go to those type of guys.
You're right, but let's just think about who he's up against, right? And you've got Alex Saar for the Wizards. And I don't know if they even know how they want to use him. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of bigs in this mm-hmm. draft mm-hmm. that are on bad teams that also have players that are pretty good
right.
around them. Like, you look at Charlotte with Salon, and you've got Brendan already there, and you've got LaMelo there. And those are guys that I don't know necessarily are going to want to share the rock with him, and I don't even know how much he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Alex Saar on the Wizards, which I'm not really sure what his role is. You've got Atlanta with Rishi Shea, and I'm sorry, that's just a team that's never going to be on national television. That's just a team that no one's going to want to watch. So to me, it's like the fact that Edie's on a team that people want to watch
right.
is huge. I think Reed Shepherd is another like player that a lot of people are going to be asking after, but I don't know what his role on that team is going to be.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of guys that are, you know, blocking him in the rotation. So I'm just looking at it in terms of minutes.
Yeah.
And then the competitors that he's up against.
Yep.
There's just not a lot of guys. There's no guards that are going to be on a team that can immediately make an impact.
Yeah, so I think I would say, if I was sort of handicapping it, I think Zach Edey should be in the top three. But I think the yep. favorite should be Stephon Castle with the Spurs.
For sure.
Because yeah, he is sure. the he is the one guy, right? Like, we've seen it a little bit in summer league, like he's dunking on like China and everything. Like, he's the guy that's actually gonna start and have the ball in his hands, and he's gonna be throwing passes to Wemby, who he's gonna average 9 assists a game if he wants to, right?
What about Chris Paul though? What about the Chris Paul wrinkle?
He ain't got nothing left. Come on. He ain't got nothing left. I mean, this can't be the Chris Paul show at 40 years old, can it?
No, I hope not. But that's the only thing that gives me any reluctancy is whether Chris Paul takes any minutes from Stephon Castle. But you're right. I think that Stephon Castle should definitely be leader in the clubhouse, and a guard should always be leader
exactly.
in the clubhouse.
Exactly. I mean, look, it could be a year where, you know, like Scotty Barnes averaged 15-7 with a 19% usage rate. He's the only guy. You know, because I kind of consider Paolo a big guard, right? Paolo is a big guard as far as I'm concerned. He just has the ball in his hands constantly. He's the only guy that's not a guard that's won it other than Wemby in the last, you know, 10 years, basically. So I think that would have to look like that, right? Like, if he could average, you know, 13-9 or something like that, and the Grizzlies are the 3 seed, then he'd be rookie of the year, I would think. But it's also not a team award. They, you know, losers win this award all the time.
But you have to have highlights.
Right. Right.
And so the question is, like, who is their buzz around? And there's not a lot of buzz, period.
There's just not. Now, that could change in 2 weeks. I mean, and it will. Yeah. I mean, so, like, somebody that we're not talking about right now, like, is going to, like, Dillingham for Minnesota. Like,
yes.
Could see a world where he does take over Mike Conley. I mean, you could see that. Yes. I know that's not the plan, but a lot of things happen that are not planned.
Maybe he tears his MCL or something.
Sure,
I'm not putting that on him, but, like, that could happen.
Right. Like, I mean, the Bulls are tearing things down. Bouzelis could have an increased role. You know, like, I mean, it's just like there are things that we're not necessarily. You know, I don't think Ron Holland is good, but who knows 2 weeks into the season what this all could look like. I do think that Zach Edey probably is the safest in terms of we know what to think about him and what we'll get from him. But it's 6-1 now, right? The value on Zach Edey is gone.
The value's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. Yeah, don't do it now.
You can't be getting – like I was arguing with this guy on Twitter. He's like, it's not a bad bet because it's plus next to it. Bro. If that's how you think about sports betting, you got to stop doing it because they're building new hot tubs because of you. Like, just because it's a plus doesn't make it a good bet all of a sudden, right? Like, there's an implied probability that comes with every bet you place. So do I think Zach Edey's a 14% chance to win the Rookie of the Year? I would say probably not.
Well, also, is there a world where those odds go back up? Because it's only one summer league game.
Exactly
so,
right. Yes.
So maybe there's a point in time in December where somebody has a hot start.
Yep.
And so the odds shift, and now you can get Zach Edey 12-1. So if you like Zach Edey, just like keep your eye out.
What about Klingon at 15? I mean, you don't think Klingon will have a chance? I know they're going to be bad, but I mean, it's sort of the same argument in terms of, like, I mean, he could average a double-double.
But you guys have no bigs.
Correct.
Like, we at least have Ayton, and how is that going to look?
That's
true. you know, maybe there's a like an increased role for Rob Williams to up his trade value.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff going on there.
That's true.
I have to look at some other rookies that could get some increased usage and a bigger role.
Yeah, we need you to look at that.
Yeah, that's something I can definitely look at while I'm here at Summer League, and I can kind of be on the case because I'm going to be here till next Friday.
Yeah, so you got the edge. You got the edge. Last thing before we let you go, Trista, because I do want to get your thoughts because I've seen you talk about it, and I very much share the same sentiment. But you're going to be out there with Haley Welch, our girl Hawk Tua. I don't know if you guys will be in the same cabana or club or day party, but she's out there in Vegas too. Now, she gets paid $30,000 to appear. I don't know what your fee is these days, but she has
not that.
She has skyrocketed to internet fame here. And I guess I would ask you, why is this happening for her?
The internet's a crazy place, and she did something that resonated with a lot of people, and then there was controversy around it. She got fired from her job, and she's kind of like that girl on the plane that saw the ghost or whatever. Like, she's like, you're not real, you know? She kind of has that, like, crazy, zany moment in the sun, or that girl who's like, you know, catch me outside, how about that? Like, she's kind of like the catch me outside girl.
Interesting.
They get their moments in the sun. You know, I always think about, like, is that something that I want, right? Is that a world that I want to live in? And the answer is probably no, because you're like a prop for a moment. You can't, there's no sustainability to that. So it's great. She needs to capitalize on every bit of that. Could she probably be an OnlyFans girl and do something with that? Yeah, sure. Like, and everybody deserves to get paid. Right? Find your niche.
Yeah.
Do that thing. Write it out as long as you can. But you're a novelty. And I hate that term for women in the space.
Right.
But I also do appreciate $30,000 for an appearance, which is more than a lot of, like, that's a lot more than certain teachers make in a year.
Yeah.
So get your bread and capitalize it on it while you can.
But it does, like, it just that sentence, right? Just that sentence alone sort of just, I think, speaks to the ridiculousness of it, you know. And it's not about, like, I don't know, part of me kind of also feels like some of these people, even the ones that are paying her, are starting to laugh at her as opposed to laugh with her. You know, there's an element of that, because she's the small town girl, you know, from Belfast, Tennessee, which is the country. And I don't think she's dumb at all. I actually think she's quite smart, but I think some people believe that she's dumb and that all she has to offer is this one little phrase, and that's like what she's being reduced to. And I hope that she's aware of that.
Can we get real for a second, though? Like, let's go global. Let's go big picture here. There are a lot of women who use their brains and are smart enough to know that they can capitalize on pretending to be dumb. Mm. And that is a cultural issue and something that we need to look inside of ourselves as a society to figure out why that's something that we like. Think about that.
That's interesting, because
Paige Sperenik.
I didn't want to say her name. I didn't want to say her name. You said it, but that's
Paige
exactly where my head went.
Is a millionaire.
Yep.
Pretending to be dumb.
Yeah.
There are women that have doctorates.
Yep.
That make a good living.
Yep.
Pretending to be dumb because men will pay for consuming content from women that support their tropes about women.
Man,
think about that.
That's a tough one, because an intelligent, articulate, you know, a decorated woman is intimidating. I mean, is that it?
And threatening,
right.
There's plenty of people who have I don't want to make this about me because it's not, but like, this is an example, because I've never been someone who could do that. I've never been able to bat my eyelashes.
Well, you're an Oregon duck. You're an Oregon duck. I wouldn't expect you to do that.
It's just never, my mom would slap the S out of me. You know, she just never allow that at all. And like, I get off on being right. I get off on flexing my intellect. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I could never allow a dumbass of any gender and me to pretend that they're funny or smart or right when I know I'm funnier, smarter, and more right. And that probably costs me bread and opportunities, but I don't care, right? But, like, the way I am is repulsive to a certain type of man.
No doubt.
And those men happen to be a large contingency of people who loved the content place that I used to be at in Barstool Sports. And to me, that was a look behind the window of a certain type of person that I have no interest being around, and an audience that I do not care whether they buy my stuff, like my content, follow me, they immediately get the block button because my content is not a right, it's a privilege. And I think if women want to go that route, I am totally fine with that because that's feminism. If that's your way of getting paid and elevating yourself, I am totally fine with that. That's just not something that I can do.
Nothing but respect. And I'm always honored to have you on the show, honored to call you a friend. You're the best. Thank you for your time, Trista.
Love y'all. Didn't know we were going to get deep like that, but what a way from Hawk Tua to, like, societal issues.
I mean, I think it's part of it. It's all part of it, man. It's all part of the, you know, societal commentary, man. The things are one and the same. Enjoy Vegas. We'll catch up soon enough.
All right, let's talk soon.
Yep. She is Trista Crick, host of BetMGM tonight. Always really, really love her perspective. Just brilliant, 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 brilliant. And I look, she endures things as a woman in this space that I don't. I mean, I get my fair share of people who are toxic and want to talk ish to me, but it's a very different, you know, I don't have to prove my sort of barrier of entry, right? I don't have I'm just a man. I'm just a man that talks about sports, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, for her, it's like she has to kind of make a choice. She kind of has to make a choice of if I'm going to do that, you know, authentically and enter the space, or am I going to try to pander? And obviously she has chosen not to pander. And that does make it harder for women. There's no question about that. And I think any woman in sports media will tell you that. But it makes me respect the hell out of her for that. And I think she's absolutely as good as anybody that's doing it today. And if you don't, I mean, her TikToks are hilarious. And you guys know we've had her on the show, you know, for years now. And she is the best. So appreciate her time. Joining me on the show today. A week in Vegas, buddy.
Ooh,
let me tell
boy.
You about that.
Could you do it?
I did it last year in December.
Yeah.
Remember, I was doing the show from the
yeah.
hotel.
Yeah. Yes, it was a week.
But I will say this about a week in Vegas. I will never do it again. I will never do it again because, like, you just – I was at a point, man, I love to gamble.
I know.
Like, I'm going to Horseshoe and staying the night on Saturday. My brother's bachelor party is this weekend.
Fun.
So I'm hosting that for him. We're going to Horseshoe.
Okay.
So I love all of it. I love the sounds,
yes,
the sights,
sir.
The smell. And Vegas in particular, it just beats you down. It's like the combination of the dry air. It's the combination of the elevation. It's the combination of you can't go anywhere without spending $100. It's all of it. And it's and do that for a week, and you don't get good sleep, and you're constantly, like, getting hit in the face, and it's like, you know, I was hiding in my hotel room like I was a fugitive by the, like, back half of the trip, because I didn't want to spend any more money. I didn't want to gamble. I didn't want to do anything else. I just wanted to just go home, but I was there because I had that twofer. I had that Sunday game, and I had that Thursday game, so I had to make it, but never again. I think
the last.
Well, it won't be the last. It'll be the last time I do a week in Vegas.
That's what I'm saying. Last week you do. You do 2 to 3 days?
I think 2 to 3 is, like, the most you should.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I know that's, like, the cliche thing.
Sure.
But there's a reason it's cliche. It's because it's true. It's like, that is the best. If you're somebody that likes to get after it and you think you're going to love Vegas, do 2 to 3. Because your spirit will be broken. I'm just telling you. I mean, you know, you lived out there, so.
Yeah, I lived out there for three or four years, but I was different. I'm built different than you in terms of, like, I'm not a gambler.
Right.
It's a perfect city for a gambler to live in because you get all the advantages of preying on the gamblers and working right there and being a local, because that's where they make their money. Yeah. Those are warehouses for people to come and lose money to.
Yeah, man. No, it's.
I also was in the local. You know, when you're living on the Strip for a week, it's different.
Yes,
than if you're living in Henderson.
100% correct.
You know, I lived in Henderson. I had an office over on Maryland Parkway over at UNLV, and then I worked on Sahara on the other side of the valley. So
exactly.
It's a different bag, bro.
No, the Strip is, you know, it ain't for the weak. It ain't for the weak, bro.
No.
And it ain't for the broke.
Like the high schools in Las Vegas are not on the Strip.
That's right.
For a reason.
That's right.
Because if they were, it would be challenging.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you were just in the city proper, sure, yep. I'll spend however long in Vegas,
sure,
right? I'm not like in the,
yeah.
But when you're on the Strip and it's $10 for a Diet Coke and it's, yeah, you know, the sounds of the slot machines are beating you over the head, and Gordon Ramsay's there for $150 for a cheeseburger. It's like, yeah, damn, bro. Like,
I had friends who lived out at Lake Mead, and then they had built, Celine Dion had built a big lake out there, a man-made lake. There's a couple lakes out there that are beautiful outside of the city, and
yep,
you can hike out there, and it's a sort of a nature reserve type deal.
Yep.
You know, Vegas has become more than the Strip, but unfortunately, if you're on the Strip, especially with the sports, because
yep,
for folks who don't know, new football stadium's close to the Strip. T-Mobile is on the Strip next, yep, to New York, New York.
Oh, they're trying to get you on the Strip now.
Yeah, that's where they're putting the casinos next to the sporting events are going to be on the Strip, which is wild to me.
Yep.
But that's where they're going.
Yep. Anyway, thanks to Trista for joining
cool
us on the show. Drew Hill going to join us at 125 from, this is a Vegas show. Everybody's in Vegas.
Right, he's in Vegas, too. Get his perspective on it. Maybe he's different, too.
Jeff in Michigan. But everybody
on
else
the lake.
Everybody else is in Vegas.
Everybody's remote this week.
Yeah. If you are in Vegas and would like to join the show,
450-0929
is the phone number, and we will take your call.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest. Plus, an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.